did.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Earl. How are you?
Did you come in on the snowmobile?
No, I didn't. Luckily, they had the roads relatively cleaned up.
Oh, okay. Man, it's Friday. That's Fridays. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. Hey, Sandy, did you come in on the bobsled?
No, I was snowshoeing. It was a long, slow slog, I'll tell you.
What heavy water content, right?
Yeah. I've got birch trees in my front yard that are bent all the way over to the ground.
You know, the trees and all the branches snapped off. And, you know, it's not ice. You could understand if it was ice.
Yeah, it's snow.
Yeah, it's snow. It's in the water content of it is so heavy that it sticks to, you know, the leaves and all those things. The other part of this, Sandy, you noticed, you know, probably the vegetation had been coming up in the yards. This doesn't kill it, though.
No, daffodils are okay. I think they can stand freezing. That's why they come up first. And that's all I was seeing was daffodils.
Yeah, and irises and those kind of things.
Yeah, the bulb plants. I think they come up because of moisture in the soil.
Yeah, and so they can sense it, I guess.
From the thaw.
From the thaw.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's automatic. And so, you know, that robin I was talking about 2 weeks ago, a week ago.
Yeah, he's having serious second thoughts.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, what was I thinking?
I don't know where he came from, but wherever it is. You know, they're pretty hardy creatures. They can...
Robins?
Birds, period, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we've got... I mean, you know, I've got a bird feeder.
Right.
Birds that stay around all winter. Not robins, but other birds.
Yeah, they're pretty hardy. But anyway, a lot to talk about. St. Paddy's Day is tomorrow. What do you think is going to happen with the parade?
No, you're looking at your watch.
The parade is tomorrow.
Yeah, the parade. St. Patrick's Day is the 17th.
Oh, yeah. And so the parade is tomorrow downtown Milwaukee.
Oh, that means it's like a pub hop is what it really means, right?
Yeah.
Well, they have
a parade.
Well, if they have the parade on the 10th, the people will use that as an excuse to do their pub hopping. And then the actual 17th is the actual day for all of that. So the bars must have lobbied to have it be a twofer.
So what I never understood as I watched the pub hopping, because down on Brady Street, we were right there where all the pubs were, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I never will forget watching the people. I think I was starting at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning, something, whatever it was. And you see all these people. And they're tying it on at 8 o'clock in the morning. 7 o'clock in the morning. And I would wonder, how do they survive? What do? They have to go home and sleep it off.
I can't
speak.
Well,
you
were
young once.
No,
you were,
I never.
No, I know, but you.
I never was in the all day, the drink all day thing.
The
American breakfast. I never.
But you knew people who did.
Yes.
I just couldn't. And I watched these people. And it was amazing to me that you could start at 7 o'clock in the morning and drinking, and at noon you're still around.
The only reason I know that there are people seasoned like that is I can remember being at a business meeting in Las Vegas and being in a casino and going up to my room and seeing some people at the slots.
Right.
At 10:30 at night, and coming out in the morning for breakfast, and the same people were still sitting there. So there are people who condition themselves for this kind of activity.
You know? Yeah, this kind of activity. Yeah. So it takes all kinds, right?
You got to get in shape.
Yeah, well, you got to get the elbow oiled up.
Yeah,
a little bit, but I don't know, man, and I don't see, you know. guys of your and my demographic, it's kind of young.
I think if you do that your whole life, you, you don't get to be our demographic.
So, you know, so what? And then it's the green beer, right?
And I was in Chicago a couple of times, and, you know, they dye the Chicago River green.
Right.
It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, you know, and I guess they don't just drink beer. They drink some hard liquor, too, huh? I guess you mix the stuff together.
Well, I think
I don't know.
I think you can. I think you can.
You don't know what kind of, what.
No.
The outcome of that. Well, no, we know what the outcome of that is going to be eventually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I remember the concept of a depth charge. I remember that was a
depth charge.
Depth charge was, I think, a shot of beer sitting in the bottom of a glass of, I mean, a shot of whiskey in the bottom of a glass of beer.
Oh, I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can confess to knowing about those.
I never have. I'll go to my grave without ever having tried one.
A depth
Boilermaker. They used to call them a Boilermaker.
Boilermakers, too.
Yeah. Never did that. It's one of those things I'll never do. You do that when you're young, right?
Once.
Oh.
Yeah, you do that. You do that once when you're young if you've learned your, lessons.
Hey, I don't know how we got on this, but it's, you know, I was thinking about, okay, so This snow, they'll get it moved, and they'll, and it's really not cold outside.
No, it'll probably melt. I'm just trying to figure out whether the snow is going to get heavier. It won't get heavier just from getting warmer, just so long as it doesn't rain on the snow.
Right, right. Which is what they were talking about in California with all the snow on top. Man, they showed some photos.
Lake Tahoe, people there have like 12 feet of snow.
On their roofs.
Yeah.
And they got people on top of there with shovels, little bitty shovels, trying to shovel it all off because they're projecting rain, and they're saying if the rain hits that stuff, it's going to become like cement.
Yeah, and very heavy. I used to have a place in Park City, Utah. A friend sent me a picture. They got the same deal going. Snow all the way up to the roof, and then, you know, the just whole building's obstructed by snow.
Yeah, so, you know, we can complain, and this is really not, I mean, 5-6 inches, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they talk like the world was coming to an end. It's why I got up at 3 o'clock this morning. I said, well, I'm going out to the studio, because if I can see the news people, they've made it in, and they're ahead of me, then I know I can make it, right? And as I told you earlier, it's the first time that I've ever been on a highway watching the plows actually plow the highway.
So you were plowed this morning. That's how we got on the subject, baby.
And I'll tell you something.
Earl was plowed.
Man, those, they've got three, there were three of them side by side. And then there were people, and I was right behind them. And then there's this guy in a pickup.
It's amazing. They go in a formation.
Yes, a formation.
All the snow off to one side. It's a pretty amazing process.
It really is. And just anybody can't do it.
No.
And you just don't realize just how much skill is involved in it, the way they do it. And I'm watching smaller cars trying to get around these things. And if you get in the way, it's not going to end up well, right? It's just not going to end up well. They're not waiting for some guy who thinks he's more important than them getting that job done. And all I could think about is, so this is how they do it. I often wondered how they get that done, that, you know, that well, but the plows on those trucks, huge.
Yeah. But when they go that speed, the snow comes off with a high velocity.
Yeah.
It spins off the blade. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. So you've been there, obviously.
Yeah, I've seen it.
All right. So this is the excitement for the day.
This is where our lives have come to, Earl.
This is what we're going to talk about. And that's on me. This is what happens when you get up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, particularly, we watched the Bucks last night.
We watched them
winning by a lot and then try to lose the game. They were trying their damnedest.
We were at the Buck game, and I saw, man, it's amazing the fan base that the Bucks have.
Yeah, it was sold out. I mean, they were all there last night.
And not only was it sold out, the people come from all over the state.
Uh-huh.
And they knew coming in that it was going to be difficult with the weather. And yet they were there, right?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I was surprised. I figured it would be a low turnout, but no, it was basically.
Yeah, and they got home. Some of them, you know, it was some of them 3.5 hour ride, man. To watch the Bucks? No, thank you. I'd rather watch it on television. But anyway, are we going to talk about anything?
No, I think we're done.
Okay, let's see, where do we begin? I wanted to begin with this, Sandy. The drug cartels. This is amazing to me.
Well, I saw this morning the drug cartel
turned over.
No, but they issued an apology.
Yes.
And then the statement from the U.S. says, we're not sure it was sincere. But, I mean, the notion of a cartel being enough of an established entity so that they could essentially have a process for issuing an apology and saying, we screwed up.
They turned over five of their guys.
Yeah, and they turned over five of the guys who did it.
So here's...
There's honor amongst thieves.
Yes. Man, that was amazing to me. But they also knew.
It's like a nation. That is a problem Mexico has, that they've got these drug cartels that are literally governments onto themselves. It's a lot like the way I think the mafia used to operate in Italy, which was to be an alternative government.
We're already up to a break, man, and we didn't even get started yet.
We are?
All right. Yeah, we got to go to a break.
Okay.
844-967-2789. We got a lot to talk about. It's Fridays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday with Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, outrage by the American people with the four people that were apprehended at the border and two murdered and of Mexico. And the outrage by our government, elected officials, and really bringing pressure on the Mexican government. And so the cartels, Sandy, the drug cartels, one of them, realized that pressure was coming. You just wonder how cartels, you just don't think that they're fearful of much of anything. They're willing to do anything, right?
Well, you know, the United States went through a period of history like this. There was the Boss Tweed period in New York, where Boss Tweed was the name of the guy who basically ran the Irish Mafia that was running the city government of New York. There was a similar operation down in Kansas City. A number of places in our country back in the turn of the last century were run by gang elements. So, you know, we can look at Mexico's drug cartel operations and be astonished by it, but we have to remember that there was a time in our history where essentially something that looked and smelled an awful lot like organized crime was running large political operations in the country and had a lot of political clout. And, you know, Boss Tweed ran the Customs House and the corruption that was associated with the Customs House in New York City. But so Mexico is going through this. You know, clearly the drug cartels have lots of influence. There are lots of corrupt officials in Mexico who are reaping a benefit from it. I said off the air, I think the difference, you know, I'm saying this a bit with a smile, but, you know, the crooks in Mexico admit to themselves that they're crooks, unlike the crooks in American politics who get all their money and use it for getting reelected and use it for their own self-aggrandizement, but would never believe that they were crooked in what they're doing.
You know, Sandy, harkens back. There you go. It harkens back, Sandy, to a time in the 80s with the cocaine trafficking in Colombia, Bolivia, Peru.
Right.
And when this country was really going through a lot as people were addicted to cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
And that was flowing through Miami and elsewhere, and our government didn't seem to be able to do anything at all to stop it. And El Chapo and those kind of guys. Well, now what's happening in Mexico clearly is the fentanyl thing. So what I was saying is these guys hurried up and turned over their own guys. So, and because they were fearful that something big was getting ready to happen with our government on their government.
Well, I think there's, like I said earlier, honor amongst thieves. I'm confident that the cartel has an implicit rule amongst their folks that, hey, we shoot other cartel members. Our violence is restricted to our business. And we're not going to infringe on citizens, you know, out there, because if we do that, there'll be just too much heat, and that we'll have to get out of the kitchen. And so, you know, I'm pretty sure that's what this had to do with. It's like the mafia used to operate the same way. You know, there were rules. You know, the rules were they involved violence, but it also involved who the violence was to be used upon, and not willy nilly amongst the general population.
So in this instance, because many congressmen and congresspeople were outraged that how could this happen, and especially to American people, this pressure has been applied, and the Mexican and many congresspeople were saying we need to let our military go into a sovereign nation.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I was saying earlier, we've been down this line before. Pancho Villa was the Mexican criminal who was running around on the border of Texas and making incursions into Texas, and the crime of Mexico and the Pancho Villa rule of essentially he was like a cartel rule was spreading into Texas. And so, we actually sent our army down to Texas to take on Pancho Villa. So, you know, we've done it before, but the process of us rattling our sword and thinking that we can use military force against a neighbor sounds an awful lot like Ukraine and Russia. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, we've got, when you start talking about invading a sovereign neighbor because they're doing things that are damaging to Americans, that's exactly what Putin was saying about why he was invading Ukraine, because he was saying that the Nazis, the neo-nationalists of Ukraine were doing damaging things to Russian speakers and to the people who were had allegiance to Russia in the Donbas region. And there's been this war going on since 2014 all about that.
Listen, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That's Fridays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back. That's kind of a great...
Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. It's Fridays with Sandy Williams. You know, I want to spend one more moment on this because the president of Russia, the president of Mexico really was taken aback by the loose conversations that Congress people were having, demanding that we send our military into Mexico and root out these cartels, and never even thinking, Sandy, of the carnage of innocent people that would die. You know, it's not like you're just going to send the military down there and they're going to see a big sign that says, yeah, here's where they are.
Yeah.
Right? They would have to go through some things, and so the president clearly stated, hey, are you forgetting we're a country, a sovereign nation, and our nation constantly supports that theory, right? We everywhere else all over the world, we talk about, you know, these nations having their freedoms, and we support all of that. And what would it look like if we turned, well, we know what it would look like.
Yeah, it would look like I said, it would look like Russia and Ukraine. You know, we did it. General John Pershing back at the turn of the last century with Pancho Villa, but that was when Mexico was a fledgling country, and that was when the United States had its way in the Western Hemisphere. And it was a period of military adventure, you know, Teddy Roosevelt and the like. But no, it would be, you know, it would run directly. It should make us come closer to having some empathetic understanding of what might be going on in Eastern Europe with Russia and Ukraine. If Ukraine, particularly in the Donbas region, and with the anti-Russian kind of sentiment and the situation going on in the Donbas, as alleged at least, with the Azov battalion, all of that, you know, it's not the cartel, it's not drugs directly. But it begins to sound like the same kind of reasoning that causes you to send troops over the line to take care of your own security interests, the national security interests.
Let me ask you. We know that a lot of the fentanyl is coming from Mexico, and
I did want to go back to one thing before. Well, the bombast of Congress and talking about invading Mexico and having the president of Mexico have to get up and kind of get his bristles up on his back and be defensive and antagonistic to the United States. We should understand that this is happening all across the world. China is basically talking about how the United States, you know, last week the president of China and its defense minister was describing what, you know, that they thought the United States was involved in a process of containment of China, hostility towards China, and an effort to contain and restrict Chinese economic development. Okay,
so
and
Sandy,
we acted like that was hostile statements when in fact it was a very express and explicit explanation of exactly what our policies are.
So, my friend, what you just did was took us to maybe the second or third hour of the show.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll come back to it then. But I just wondered, well, that's a segue we can come back to. Because you know, what we're doing, is we have all this hostility towards the United States coming on, and it's not a coincidence. It's because of the way we're acting.
So we're going to talk about all that, I promise you, in the next hour and a half of the show. But you are a guy who's a big free speech guy, right? You believe in freedom of speech.
Absolutely, yep.
What are your thoughts on TikTok?
Well, I don't, you know, the TikTok, we've created.
Do we want to ban it?
We've created a couple of kind of boogeyman concepts about it. We say that TikTok represents a potential pathway for Chinese intelligence to gather data on Americans. Well, there's all kinds of ways to gather data on Americans, including iPhones, including everything you can think of. And what is it that they're going to do with that data that's going to damage our security? I mean, they're going to understand the movements of Americans. They're going to understand American culture much more. But there's all kinds of pathways for this and all sorts of corporations that have the capacity to have this. So I think the antagonism towards TikTok has more to do with
it's China,
the messages that can be in it and the fact that China owns it.
So that's the point that Sandy that I think is being missed in all of this. So we've got Democrats and Republicans, and they're talking about what TikTok does, and it's a danger to youth and all those kind of things. How many other sites, Sandy, can you say the same thing about that are owned by people in this country?
Sure.
Right? If you can say that about TikTok, you
Instagram.
Can say that. You just took the words out of my mouth.
Yeah, Instagram has exactly the same potential. And, you know,
Not to mention all these other sites.
And if TikTok goes away, we can be assured that someone will replace it with an identical kind of a vehicle. I mean, there's nothing magical about what TikTok offers that's got a intellectual property restriction on it. There'll be something that isn't owned by Mexico that is doing just what TikTok does.
So here's, you want to limit the amount of time children are on it. You should be doing, if you're going to do that with one site, there are many others, a whole lot more devastating than what TikTok is.
Well, and in fact,
and where do you, once you start, Sandy, where do you end?
Well, in fact, China has restricted it in China for TikTok in terms of time, periods of its use and access.
Are you in support of that, if that happens in this country?
No, but I do believe that there will be, we're in a path of convergence with China with respect to a recognition of the issues associated with social media and with the new world of social media. And there will be a strong political movement that will cross between conservatives and liberals who will reach a coincidence of thinking, like they are about TikTok, about putting restrictions on social media. And it's a slippery slope, you know. And we look at other countries that do it, and we point our finger and hold our nose and say, look, see how repressive they are? But we have all the same impulses operating within our country, and we've already started using them. We've started putting government muscle onto the Social Security businesses saying, you better start restricting this or otherwise we'll regulate you. Well, if the government regulates them, that's exactly what China is doing to them. It's the same principle. So, you know, we frequently take pride in pointing our finger at other countries when they do something that's viewed as repressive. Having cameras that are used for surveillance, okay, facial recognition, we got all that going. And incidentally, our police organizations in this country use surveillance cameras and facial recognition. So, you know, China's not the evil, it's not Satan out there creating these technologies and then pushing them on the world in order to get them to be more China-like. No, countries are buying these things because they want to, for instance, control crime within their country. Serbia, for instance, was a big customer of China in terms of buying all kinds of surveillance cameras and the capacity to use them to control crime. London has got surveillance cameras all over it.
Let's go to the phone lines. David from Mequon, good morning. How you doing, man? You say what?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Really quickly, just to let you know, in Mexico, this has been ongoing now for decades with the drug cartels. The difference is they're much wealthier, much more organized, and much more of like a military.
So Dave, do you think that we should send our military? That's the issue. That's the question. Into Mexico
I do think. We should secure the border, plain and simple.
By any means necessary.
Well, the border.
Wait, listen. I just want to say this. I know Sandy's been kind of against actually having a physical barrier of a wall along the southern border. Keep in mind, Mexico has a murder rate that's 27 out of every 100,000 people versus 7 in the United States. Even though we see all the murders going on in the United States, it gives you an idea of the scope of how much murder and mayhem is in Mexico. It is out of control down there. The most dangerous places in the world are in Mexico, not in Afghanistan, not in Iran. Literally, you have
not
tens
in central
of thousands
cities,
of people.
Not in central cities across
no.
the nation.
If you look, there's some cities that have several thousand, that almost have 10,000 people dying in a city that's a fraction of the size of Chicago or New York City. That is how bad it is. And you need to look it up, because that is what's going on down there. There's a reason why when you go down to Cancun and other places, Puerto Vallarta, they have military with machine guns. They only have police officers. They have military because American citizens are regularly killed Mexico.
Well, that's not true. There are American citizens that have been killed. They are not regularly killed, but there have been situations. But whether I favor a wall or not, I think the question is whether the border security is the issue associated with the drug cartel and smuggling. And I'm confident that whether there was a wall or not, the drug cartel would be able to move its drugs and would move its drugs. They're basically moving the drugs in trucks, okay? And the trucks go through checkpoints, and they're making it through. They aren't moving drugs in the body cavities of people moving across the border. The wall... My problem with the wall was what it stood for and the way it was being used to vilify the notion of Mexican immigrants generally, and to try to decry and describe Mexican immigrants as criminals and rapists, when most frequently the people who would be coming here were coming here both for opportunity and to flee danger, not to bring danger with them. Now, it is true that there were gangs and gang members that have come to the United States and were formed, but I think most of those gangs were not actually Mexicans, but were from other countries in Latin America.
So
I just think we paint with too broad a brush. And yes, Mexico is itself a very dangerous country and is pretty close to lawless based on the corruption within Mexico.
So I think it's important, Dave, that we also give this information. Mexico in 2022, 6.7 murders per 1,000. In America, 2022, 9.3. In 2022, death rate for the United States of America was 9.3 per 1,000 people. So we're ahead of Mexico when it comes to that. I know it's hard for people to believe. Look it up. But anyway, David, go ahead.
But Mexico, from what I understand, and I will double check because I'm not sure where you got your numbers from.
Well, I just looked it up. Go ahead.
Okay, so at the end of the day, with Mexico, they are, to Sandy's point, they are bringing it through trucks, but they're also bringing it in areas where they have built roads that are
Dave, hang on. We got to go to break. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. Friday's with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
Who dat, Earl?
Who is that? I forgot the name of In Vogue. In Vogue. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, the beat is catchy. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. I was going to say Monday, man. It's Friday, and you weren't going to let me get away with that.
Well, it's interchangeable.
And, for you, maybe. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. On the line, David from Mequon, and we were talking about, for those of you who are just joining us, the issue with what happened in Mexico and the fact that there are congresspeople across this nation who are basically advising our government to send the military into Mexico and root out the drug dealers. Dave, you were saying.
All right. So this would be clear. Where I got my stats was through the BBC, February 2020. So just to let you know that I'm not just pulling that out of thin air.
No. The point I'm making is, you know, we are leading people to believe that Mexico is lawless and that the people there.
It is.
Okay. Well, it is. Dave, I just said we've got. What is America then?
For homicides.
Well, I'm saying 9.3% the death rate in America.
9.3 per thousand.
Per thousand. So, yeah, anyway.
And I, like I said, it's 27 per 100,000.
Okay, Dave, we're in no position.
Mexico.
We're in no position in this country to point the finger at any other nation and talk about lawlessness because of what's happening in our country. But anyway, go ahead.
The military. Okay, so your argument is, should the military go into Mexico? I would only advocate the military if Mexico was willing or agreeable to having special forces to help Mexico out to drive the drug cartel out of there. That I would be for. I think there could be negotiations where, like we're helping Ukraine with what their situation is, I think we could do the same for Mexico. I don't see what the problem is with that.
Well, that's a different story, isn't it? So, yeah, I think if Mexico asked for assistance, that's an entirely...
They're not asking for it.
Yeah, that's a different story. So... and, you know, as for the data on crime in Mexico, I do know that Mexico has a crime problem, but I know as well that there are parts of, I think Compton, California would tell you they have a crime problem.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin would tell
you. And I think you take a zip code in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and they'd tell you they have a serious crime problem. And I don't know the data from BBC. I would be curious as to whether they were measuring the country at large or whether they were measuring particular cities or locations, because there are definitely locations in Mexico that are more dangerous than others. And I think the general gist of it is that the general citizenry is not in danger in Mexico, but those who are involved in the drug business are. And unfortunately, there is a substantial amount of that. And there are competing cartels who are, you know, arming themselves to the teeth and fighting one another, you know, in actual wars.
So let's go to Gene from Eclair. Good morning, Gene. How are you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Thank you for this great subject today. And I just want to bring up a side note here with shootings and deaths, because I'm wondering, you know, you guys are paying attention to Mexico. You know, do they have mass shootings in schools, synagogues, churches, grocery stores, parades, colleges, concerts, medical centers? And I could go on and on. Do they have
one?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, the United States, with its 400 million guns, and the shootings we have, Germany just had this shooting yesterday in a Seventh Day Jehovah's Witness temple.
And do you see how amazing people are like, wow.
Well, it's apparently like a very rare occurrence in Germany, because not a lot of people have guns in Germany.
Right.
And so, you know, for people to shoot people with guns, they have to have guns. And, you know, I know the NRA's defense is, guns don't shoot people. People shoot people. No, they shoot people with guns. And without guns, they don't. And without assault rifles, they don't shoot mass numbers of people. They can't shoot, you know, 56 people from a hotel room in Las Vegas.
Right.
Unless they have
an automatic
rifle and a long-range automatic rifle. And so I think that one had a bump stock, which was designed to create automatic. But, you know.
Which they banned and then turned around and let it happen again.
Well, you don't want to put any infringements on the rights to guns in this country because guns solve problems. You know, yeah. It's kind of unbelievable to me because so many of the victims of shootings are children and people under age 18.
Right.
And so were they going to carry guns? They can't carry guns. So having guns isn't going to defend them against being killed unless they're in a school classroom. And school classroom killings are you know, my goodness. You know, I don't know when our country's ever going to sober up about guns.
You know, Sandy, at the root of all of it is that whether or not our nation should, you know, even think about moving into a sovereign nation that the president of the nation does not want, and yet we've got elected officials in the Congress who think that we should do that, that we have some kind of inherent right because, after all, Sandy, we're the United States of America.
Well, I'm afraid that's what I'm afraid of, is that jingoism and militarism in the United States has reached the same level that it did in 1900 when William Randolph Hearst was with his yellow journalism creating the national foment. Incidentally, that is when the Pledge of Allegiance was hatched at that time. And so, you know, we need to be careful.
Listen, we've got to go to a break. Joe from Waupaca, hang on. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, I promise you, we'll come to you right away. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday. That's Fridays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back.
Time for a breakdown.
Never gonna get it, never gonna get it. Never gonna get it, never gonna get it. Never gonna get it, never gonna get it. Never gonna get it.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Never gonna get it. Never